Local artist Alison McAvoy and her daughter Annie doing what thousands of other people do each year, going for a walk through Abbey Leake's bog in Leash.
We have a dipping pond here where lots of samples can be taken, or the bog education crew can show children what's actually living on the bog, that it's not just something to look at. There's actually plenty of life here as well.
But a spider.
See, like a spider, but spiders can't swim.
It is a bog whose fate could have been death were it not for the actions of the local community. Well, today it is 500 acres of life within walking distance of the town, a free space for everyone to enjoy.
It's just like a different world out here. It's so far from the road that you can just kind of disappear out here. If you're here on a quieter day, you don't bump into anybody. You can just do your walk. If you want to chat, you can, or you can just sit down on a bench and just look up at the sky, listen to the birds. It looks like a rainforest from where we are. All the ferns and the high trees. It's just a little escape. And for, I suppose, a lot of people would take time for a little escape now and then from the humdrum of normal life.
Abbey Leake's bog has been hailed as an example of community-centred restoration. Part of it is 250 acres of partially drained raised bog, which had been harvested in the 19th century for fuel. But since the community took it over from Bord na Móna in 2009, their work has helped to reduce carbon emissions. They've allowed life to come back, and it's now home to a range of rare species. And in the main, this is all done by volunteers. The chairperson of the Abbey Leake's Bog project is Gary Luttrell.
The project itself is restoring the bog. So now, instead of a drying out bog, a bewildered bog, it's now a living bog. So the bog is actually back living. The high bog is growing again. That increase in active raised bog from when we took it over in 2009 to 2020, we had seen an increase of something like 1,200% in the active raised bog. And if you look across there, Ellie, you can see all the white, the bog cotton.
You can see the bog cotton, it's beautiful.
So the bog cotton, and we sort of missed a lot of it there. And there's a couple of other areas, and that tells us that that bog is living again. Yeah. We're now actually sucking in carbon as well, and that's the real benefit.
And we're just passing a jogger now. Morning. There's orchids everywhere along the side of the path.
That's right, actually, there are orchids
Phenomenal.
Here. And this is a special area here. This is what we call a scallops area, right? These orchids coming along. You have the devil's biscibius. I'll show whether it's out now or not. That's the food for the marsh fritillary butterfly, which is again is one of the ones that we see here.
It's not often that you come to somewhere which has such amenity value, which has also things like devil's biscibius and orchids, and obviously all the insects they attract.
That's exactly it. But I think we've something like 25 of the 34 species of butterfly that are you can see here on the bog throughout the year.
The land here was owned by the Deveshi family, who gave permission to locals to cut turf around the banks on the edge of the bog. The centre bit was left intact, a dome of peat which formed a raised bog. By the 1960s, Susan Deveshi realised the extraordinary nature value of the bog, and she wanted it to be preserved. But in the late 1980s, Bord na Móna, who said that the bog had no special or scientific interest, wanted to buy it to harvest peat and sell it for horticulture. Tom Deveshi, Susan's son, lives nearby.
My mother died way too young in the early 80s, and Bord na Móna kept on coming to me. My father had died shortly earlier, to acquire this bog. And my mother's values were firmly instilled in me, and I wasn't interested in selling it, even though I was desperate for money to pay the taxes on my father having died. There was a purchasing officer for Bord na Móna, and he basically said, I want this bog for Bord na Móna. And
you knew what that meant was the bog was going to be cut.
Yes, it would have been milled for peat, the same as the most of the bogs between Abbey Leake and Port Leash, which removes all the plant life and wildlife and it drains, they drain the bog.
And you said no, no, no.
I said no, 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 and the perfectly nice man, but he had a job of work to do. And he would come back every few months say he'd get the same answer from me. And finally he came in and he said, look, and I've had a compulsory purchase order authorised for the bog, which will come into effect next month. But you can sell it voluntarily this month and we'll give you a few euros more. But be very clear about this. You're going to lose that bog within a month. And there's no way out of that. I sought legal advice and there's nothing you could do about it.
And Tom, when he said that to you, can you remember that afternoon, that evening, and how you felt?
Oh, I was devastated. You know, I kind of lost the battle to keep the bog, and I knew what would happen, that it would be drained, and then goodbye plants, goodbye animals, goodbye wildlife. At that stage, nobody really understood its importance as a carbon sink, and really essential to slow down climate change. I went down statistically as a voluntary sale, but it wasn't voluntary at all. I was heartbroken. I mean, partly personally and partly I thought that it was sort of, wasn't quite a betrayal of my mother, but she hadn't died very much earlier than that. And I knew that she'd be in tears. So I kind of lost the battle, it was heartbreaking. But then, as you may be aware, I hadn't realised the strength of feeling amongst my friends and neighbours, because they also loved the bog in Abbey Leaks.
And so the bog was then in the hands of Bord na Mona. Parts of the bog were then drained to dry it out in preparation for harvesting. And then one Friday morning in July in the year 2000, the diggers moved in. But the local community stepped up and said no. Early the next Monday morning, 37 local people, including farmers, teachers and local gun club members, gathered at the entrance of the bog. They came from all walks of life, but they had one united message. The bog is not for harvesting.
Adrian Humes, 20 minutes to 9. Residents of Abbey Leaks in County Laois are angry at plans by Bord na Mona to dig for peat at a bog on the outskirts of the town. They say the bog is a nature reserve and a recreational area. They say the state body must apply for planning permission before proceeding. But Bord na Mona says the bog is not of ecological or scientific significance, and they say it's therefore exempt from planning requirements.
Talking to Morning Ireland at the time, two people from the group, Gary O'Keefe and Chris Hutchinson, explained why they decided to take action.
That's right. Our understanding is that there wouldn't have been any development without community consultation. That was on a Thursday. On Friday morning, machines moved in and there was a lot of community concern and anger over this. So the reaction from the community was to actually put in another obstacle in retaliation, if you like.
And what was that?
That was a 20-ton crane. There wasn't any work done on that Friday or Saturday or Sunday or Monday, for that matter.
Yes, it's a beautiful natural forest. It has evolved over maybe a couple of hundred years, and it would be an awful pity to have it destroyed by machines. And their intention, I think, is to level the whole lot and harvest the peat from the entire bog.
This natural amenity will be gone. You'll have a big brown scar. We don't know what effect it'll have on the environment, on the hydrology. It certainly leaves a hole in the ground, which some residents, rightly or wrongly, have concerns about, that it might make an ideal site for a landfill.
Thanks to the locals, the bog was on its way to being saved. Well, three people who were part of the group back then are local farmer Dick Wellwood, Jacinta Martin and retired local principal Michael Martin. And they remember well that morning 26 years ago.
Well, I suppose it all came from different angles. Like, we live quite near, so does Dick. Dick lives on the down, just down beyond the bog there, and we live on the other side. And, like, we were living nearby. We were concerned, naturally, about the ramifications of development of the bog.
There was a small group formed just before this episode, and we got absolutely nowhere. We were given the runaround. And then when the machine went into the bog, word went around, and the next thing, this tractor was heard that this tractor was coming. Some of the lads brought the crane down and blocked its entrance. It was basically a PR disaster for Borden and Mona, because they couldn't shift, they couldn't get it in, and they'd have to pull it away to get it out.
And I can see you're laughing there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think we were helped as well, because some of the younger group there, I wouldn't have classified myself as the young group that time, they were sort of militant, if you know what I mean. They were up in arms about it, and they enthused the local people about it. And that's, then we just turned up. Not in my doorstep would we have a development like that.
And Jacinta, how do you remember word got around? Because, you know, I mean, there were mobile phones in the year 2000, but they weren't as common as they are today.
Yes, I think it was word of mouth.
It was, yeah.
You know, the people came around and said, will you come to the bog on such a morning, 24th of July, which we all did. And that's how it's happened.
Why did you decide to do this?
Well, I came at it from an environmental point, because at that stage I was farming organically. I also had land adjoining the bog at the far end of it, and I often used to walk the railway line at the time. That was one of my main interests in that.
Yeah. Was it good fun?
It was a great day, yeah. Well, I suppose I was a local school principal here as well, and I suppose I saw the damage, maybe from an environmental point of view, but also from the enjoyment of kids in the bog. So that's the reason we went.
Do you remember the moment when Borden and Mona came and they realised, who are these people? What's going to happen here?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were all milling around, and the next thing, it was decided we needed to take a photograph. Borden and Mona workers arrived just before that. We wouldn't let them drive the tractor away. A couple of their bosses came, more or less said, listen, you have to move. And we said no. So then higher up bosses arranged meetings and whatever. We just kept saying no.
You were saying no to the Borden and Mona workers coming in. But at some stage, you all had to go home to bed, I presume. Were you concerned the next day that they were just going to do the same thing?
Yes, we were, because we didn't know whether they'd come when we were not there. But luckily enough, they didn't turn up.
Yeah. There was a sense of militancy about us. So I remember the Borden and Mona, they were saying, like, I mean, the guards will be here shortly, you know. And we were simply saying, we don't care. You know, you're not going in.
It's ours.
It's ours, correct, yeah. We were kind of on call, even though we didn't have texts or anything else, but we all had our own little network built up, you know. And so we were on call and we were ready to stand in the barn, the bale at any stage.
Physically, they couldn't get in because the crane was in the way. They could not get past the crane.
Who had the keys to the crane?
Nobody knew.
Was it you?
No, I didn't have the keys of the crane, but I have no idea who had the keys of the crane either.
I do, but I do too. Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to tell?
No.
Yeah.
And we formed.
He's in
we
the
formed
area.
Yeah. Area. It was called Area, which stands for Abileek's Residence for Environmental Action. So we did mean action.
Yeah, it did actually meant action. Yeah.
What then happened in the years following? I mean, what was your ask of Borden and Mona?
The bog. They offered us a corner of the bog on the high bog, and it was mainly an area where their machines couldn't turn. They couldn't harvest it. And then they offered us a degraded part of the bog on the left. We said no, that all or nothing.
So you were asking for the 500 acres in total?
Yes, all or nothing. Eventually, attitudes changed. Basically, they said, it's far better now to be more of an environmentally friendly company than what we were.
How long did it take them to make that decision?
2008, 2009.
It was nine years when we signed, eventually.
So to be 8 or 9 years, yes.
Did it split the community? Did people come up to you and say, what in God's name are you at? Will you stop doing this? Or did you generally get support?
I can honestly say that it brought the community together.
Yes.
We came out of it united, enthusiastic and willing to do anything to stop Borden and Mona with their plans.
How disparate was the group? I mean, there's 37 of you there. We're looking at the photograph again.
Councillors.
So in terms of, were you politically united? Did you all come from the same perspective? What did you agree on apart from saving the bog?
We didn't have anything else to agree.
To do with politics.
It was nothing to do with politics, yeah. The group that came together, first of all, had nothing to do with politics.
We wouldn't have known a lot of the people. We would know, you know, personally.
That's correct, yeah.
But in the end, we're all friends and we're still our friends. But yeah. Unfortunately, a lot are deceased.
A lot are dead. It's important to realise, though, that that group, they had no personal vested interest.
No.
None of us had a personal vested interest in stopping, shall we say, the development.
Yeah. It was the public interest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Public,
yeah. And that was the whole impetus to the idea.
Are you proud of yourselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I remember I used to travel up and down the country back in the day, and people would ask me, where are you from? And I'd say, Abbey Leaks. Now I meet people at different parts of the country and they say, oh, Abbey Leaks Bog, which is fantastic.
That is very, very good. Yeah, that's absolutely true. A greater community in the locality. And now we're associated with our bog and having a cup of coffee here in Polly's. Bring your kids around for a weekend, walk around the bog, enjoy yourself. That's what we're remembered for. There's a tourism industry almost built up from it as well as the environmental impact it had in the town.
If you hadn't have done that,
no.
What would we be looking at now?
Brown desert. Simple. They had the machines ready to go and it would have been harvested. That's it.
What lesson is there for the rest of us?
I suppose the biggest lesson is stick-at-itness. Like, I mean, initially when we stood there, I know we were full of the joys that day and full of enthusiasm, but that doesn't get anywhere. I mean, it, as we said early on, it took 8 years before release could be signed. Sure.
But that was the start, not the end.
Despite
big time.
Step backs and forward and backwards and forwards and backwards, stick at it and stay together.
In 2009, the community signed a 50-year lease with Bordnamona. Today, 80,000 people a year walk through Abbey Leaks Bog, and according to the UN, it is a remarkable model for sustainable restoration, an example to communities worldwide. And it's all down to the actions of these 37 people that morning in July in the year 2000.
The goal was to stop the development and stop maybe and keep the bog for ourselves, but there was a sense of achievement. Look what we have achieved. You know, it's like winning or learned.
Yeah, just because you're from Kerry. Is that right, Phil?
I'm half a Kerry man now, but
I just threw that in, sorry.